share with us this morning a message. So we'll ask Lee to come up, and as he comes up, let's just offer a prayer for him as he comes to lead. There we go. Oh, they've locked the door. That's not right, is it? You're all right there. You okay? You're getting through. You okay? You pass your test? Have you passed your test? No. There you go. It's not bad. Well done. Let's pray for Lee as he shares this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come and hear your word this morning and worship you. And we pray for the word that you've laid on Lee's heart. Lord, we pray that he'll just be your vessel today to speak that word into our hearts, and our hearts will be open and ready. I know it's hot. I know it's a bit sticky, but Lord, we pray that our focus now will be on your word to us. Lord, you've got things to say to people today in this place through Lee. Lord, we pray that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you would use him to say those things that he's prepared on his heart, and our hearts would be ready to receive, because we want to be more equipped to be your people in this world. We want to know your word in our hearts, Lord. We want to live by your word. So may we be tentative to what you have to say to us today through Lee and through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hang on. Stay on. Can you hear me? It's all going, Pete. So, you know, Les, pass us my jacket. I'll put my jacket on. I can clip it on there. I want to breathe, Ernie. If it goes any further, it'll close my windpipe off. It's all right. Thanks, Rob. It is right where. Oh, God, what's going on? It's all good.
Putting this on.
Hey, look at this, eh? Thanks, Ernie. Ah, bless you, mate. Thank you.
Is that all right?
That'll do that.
God bless.
I'll do for now. Shout if I need you. Right, let's try again. That's a bit better. Can you hear me? Yeah, good. Praise God. Praise God. You know what? If anything could go wrong or could have gone wrong this morning, it did. So we should be all right. You know, I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't hear a thing. My ear keeps getting blocked. I have a different noise for every position I find myself in. If I'm getting up off the settee, it's, oh. I'm getting in the car, it's, ooh. It's like, I didn't sign up for this. When I thought, you know, once I was getting near 50, I thought, no, it's going to be all right. But do you know what? But God is good. I know we just prayed, but I just want to magnify who God is this morning. Yeah. You know, I know it's hot and we'll mourn about it. And then maybe next week it'll be cold and we'll mourn about it. But you know what? Let's stay focused. You know, Dave mentioned in the prayer, you know, about that audience of one. You know, this is our opportunity. It certainly isn't about me. Leslie will tell you that. It's not about me, but it is about God. It's about Jesus. So let's home in. Let's focus on God. Let's give God our attention this morning. And who knows, he might just speak into our hearts. Amen. But Father, we magnify your name, we honour your name, we glorify your name, because it's a name above every single name. So Lord, wherever we're at right now, whatever we're feeling, Lord God, we just hand over everything to you and ask, Lord, that your will be done, not ours, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was away last weekend. Counties is it's an evangelistic network that I've been a part of now since 2018. The great encouragement. It's basically a group of around 80 evangelists up and down the country. We get together a few times a year, and we just do all things evangelists do. when we get together and just go mad for Jesus, and you know, we learn more, we go out and we just minister. But it's a great, I love it, it's great respite for me doing what I do throughout the week. And we went on Saturday, Friday just gone, but the first session was about struggling and being open about struggling in the church. You know, so often we get asked, are we all right? And we say, yeah, almost like a default reply. But we're not always all right. But we think that we can't say we're not all right because we're in the church. I remember many a times we'd have, when I was ministering in the church, and we'd have guest speakers coming in and they'd preach a real message in season, then do a response. And everything inside me was like, respond, that's for you. But I felt like I couldn't. I felt like I couldn't respond. I felt like I'm the leader. If I respond, we're all going to think, wow, what's up with our leader? Is he a mess? So there were many times that I felt like I needed to respond to what God was doing, but I felt like I couldn't. And I felt like I couldn't share with people because I didn't want to expose that side of me, that I was feeling a bit weak in certain areas or I was coming under attack. And we was talking about that all weekend, about, you know, what does the Bible say about it? How can we overcome it? And so when Dave asked me to speak, and even said to Leslie just days ago, I'm still undecided what God wants me to bring, because I've got myself into a good habit. I'm always writing sermons because you never know when they're needed. So I always find that I'm in my back cave, my man cave, whatever you want to call it, and I'm jotting down sermons. And you know, sometimes God will really sort of imprint one on me and I'll release it. But I came back to this struggling, but still standing. So that's the title of my message, struggling, but still standing. Because let me tell you something. This is what the enemy loves. The enemy loves it when you fall. Loves it. Loves it, especially when the Christian falls and stumbles and the world starts wagging the finger and saying, ha, told you. Told you. You're going on about your God and look at the state of you. But you know what the enemy can't stand? When you get up. It's important that we get up. Yes, we will fall. Yes, we will stumble. Because we're still in the flesh. The battle that we constantly fight is the one with our own flesh. But we've got to get up. It's so important that we get up. For those that aren't yet in the kingdom, it's so important that we get up. Because we're not here to show a rose-tinted belief system that nothing ever goes wrong and we're all happy-clappy like Ned Flanders out of The Simpsons. And we promote this religion that says it's absolute perfection. Become a Christian and you will never, ever face any trials. You will never come across hardship. You will everything. You'll sail through life. And that is false doctrine. It is. Because we have to understand that actually the rose-tinted glasses come off. You face with the realization that God is real. That we're now not only accountable to ourselves, but we're accountable to God. And we're accountable to other people. Because the thing is, when we say yes to the call, and believe me when I say, every single one of us in this room have been called. You're not here by chance. You're not here to fill a seat. You're here with divine appointment. I can't do what you do, and you might not be able to do what I can do, but together, collectively, we're called to break souls out of hell and get them into heaven. Whether that be through the way we live our life, our witness, through the calling of maybe to preach the gospel. But we know that preaching the gospel is not just verbal. It's not just a verbal calling. We have to preach the gospel with the way that we live. The way that we think, feel, do things. We've got to be different. I can't do the things that I used to do and expect God to bless me in the way that I need to be blessed if I'm still, if I've still got one foot in one camp and one foot in the other, and I'm trying to walk like a crab, and it's taking me in all kind of directions that I don't want to go in because I don't want to completely give up some of the things that I used to enjoy. But actually, I want God to move through me so that other people get to know him. I've still got family members that don't yet know Jesus. I might be the only Bible they ever see or read. And when I say that, the way I live my life, the way that my life points to Christ. But I struggle. So does that make me a bad Christian? No, it doesn't. What it makes me, it identifies the fact that when I'm struggling, it means I'm fighting. It means I'm in a battle. It means that something in me is really irritating the enemy. Where it's like being a Christian, it's like having a target on your back. And this isn't, this message, Leslie's like that to me as I got up. She went, bring them up, don't bring them down. Bring them up, don't bring them down. But my job is to encourage and empower. Because God's not here to, God's not got us here to bring people down. See, the way we build the kingdom of God is we build each other up. Because as lovely as this building is, it's just a building. You're the church. I'm the church. We're the living, breathing blocks, and we all come in all shapes and sizes, Ernie. But it just works. Shouldn't work, but it does. We all just come together and somehow it just clicks. Because we're like-minded in the fact that we love Jesus. In the fact that we were broken, absolute messes, and God fixed us together. And sometimes, like when you drop a pot and you have to glue it back together, it might be fixed, but there's marks, there's scars of where the cracks were. But that's all right. It's all right because sometimes you can look back and think, wow, yeah, remember when God got me through that. So I know he can get me through this. I was sat in my front room this morning while Leslie was getting ready, and I thought I'd put some worship on. And we sing the song, I Raise a Hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies. But I was listening to the intro of the song, and the worship leader was explaining how God spoke to him about the song. Was when this, I don't know if it was the pastor's son, a little boy, had been took ill. There were phone calls saying he wouldn't make it through the night. And I'd heard all that before, but it was something he said this morning when he pointed out the fact that as soon as the devil pointed the sword, he knew it was over for the devil. See, the moment the enemy points the sword towards us, it's fight or flight. What do in them struggles? Do we just bow down, lay down and take it? Or do we begin to raise a hallelujah? Do we begin to fight back? Do we begin to say, you know what? I might be facing this struggle right now, but my God is bigger than my enemy. See, we live in a world where social media will put pictures on Facebook of Jesus and Satan arm wrestling like there's some kind of equal, kind of God-like people. But let me tell you something. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to God. Our own limitations of what we put on ourselves determine whether or not we think Satan is some big, scary monster that will keep overthrowing us. But remember, Jesus said that all authority, all, which is a very absolute word. It means there's no room for anything else. It's all. All authority, all power is in us. It's not in the devil. In fact, I would go as far as saying if all authority is ours, Stella, that means Satan's got none, sweetheart. He's got none. Absolute no power. Only that what we give him, Ernie. God is good. Do you know, I'm an emotional guy because I remember being that broken guy. Still am. I'm still, there's times where I don't even want to get up in the morning because I get sick and tired of being sick and tired sometimes. Because I want to be locked up in a bubble of the Holy Spirit and just float around with Jesus all day. But in reality, I've got work to do. In reality, I've got things to do. But I'd love to just hide away somewhere with Jesus all day long, 24/7, and just dance on the clouds. But the reality is, I'm called for more than that. I'm called to be a shining light, to be hope in the darkness, to be a lighthouse, to share my story, to tell people that, you know what, I was broken in a mess, but God did it for me, so he can do it for you. Yes, I know that we struggle. Sometimes I feel like church is some kind of Christian AA meeting, because we're all in the same boat. Doesn't matter what the bank balance says, or how fast or posh your car is, stripped down when our head's on the pillow, we're all the same type of people. We're broken. We get hurt. But it don't mean it's over. Because we serve a God of grace. And not just any old grace, but amazing grace. Unmerited favour. A kind of grace that says, regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you've been through, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. When we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. I don't believe that was just for the moment of salvation when we accept him as our Saviour. But I believe that every time we find ourselves in a pit, every time we find ourselves struggling, that we can say, Lord, Lord, I need you. I've done it again and I've only gone and tried to do it in my own strength again. And I've messed up. I need you. And I believe in an instant, God will show up. Because I'm a living proof to that. I'm a walking testimony to the fact that every time I mess up, and believe me when I say this, geezer knows how to mess up. This geezer can be quite cocky. He can. Thinks he's got it all sometimes. And then there's an harsh realisation that I'm very small in a very big pond. But God is big. Bigger. Much, much bigger. But he doesn't embarrass me. He just loves me. He brings me back in. Why? Because he's good. Do you know one of the best things that you can do in the morning, apart from open your eyes, because that's always good. Just let me throw that out there. It's always good when you wake up, is prayer. And especially when you don't want to. What do you mean, Christians that don't want to pray? I don't know, is it just me that don't always feel like I want to pray? Could be going through a situation, so one of my kids are upset. My wife might be poorly. There's all kinds of things going on. We had one of our VIPs, original VIPs, Steve Gibling. We loved him, absolutely loved him. He passed away last week, 62 years old. Instantly, I wanted it to be a mistake. I wanted it to, someone's got this wrong. Me and Pat went to his bungalow just around the corner, and it was true. In that instant, I felt angry. I felt angry towards God in that instant. Why would you do all this for him, God, and get him back off the streets and into a bungalow, and you'd arranged all this furniture, I'm just being honest with you now, how my carnal mind was working. I started to feel a little bit angry. Why have you took him, God? If he was beginning to turn a corner, why? And I was struggling in that moment, battling in that moment. But then I was reminded Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That actually, God loves Steve so much. He loved him so much that I believe that Steve is with him now. No more pain, no more suffering, no more battling with his demons, no more fighting temptation, no more kind of messing up. He's in glory now. He's earned his prize. He's received his inheritance. So when we look at some things in the natural and we don't understand why, it becomes a thing that can make us or put us into a struggle. I'm sure Dave, as the senior head in this church, has struggled. I'm sure there are times where he just scratches his head thinking, what's going on? Because he's just human. This is why it's so important that we try and make his job easier. There are people in the church that you can deal with. I remember when I was pastoring, so I know every person was coming to me every day. I couldn't get out of church. I'd go home and my head would explode because I had my own problems, then a load more problems, and thinking, how do I cope with this? And I've got to get it, the pressure on it, I've got to get it all right. We've got to make sure that we pray for our pastor. We've got to make sure that we're encouraging him, that we're empowering him, that we're making his job a joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if Dave's joy is apparent, so will ours. Because it comes from the top. But he'll struggle. He won't always tell you he's struggling. He's not going to get up at the front and say, morning church, by the way, just let you know I'm struggling this morning. He's probably not going to say that. But we know that if we pray, if we lift Dave, Alison and the family up, we've got them covered. They should be in our daily prayers. We should be not just praying for our leaders, but praying for one another. When we see empty chairs, as long as we know they are on holiday, we should be praying. Not knocking at the door and hounding them down, but praying for those that we don't see on a regular basis. Because we don't know the struggles. We don't know the isolation that people are facing. Kingdom of God, it's real. It's where the battle is. See, people in the world, and I don't mean this in a derogative way, but there's an ignorance in the world. The big light's not been switched on. People don't know Jesus, so they just walk around doing what they've always done, believing what they've always believed and thinking what they've always thought. We need to be praying. Let the first thing you do when you wake up, pray and get into the Word of God. Don't just read the Word of God from a screen on a Sunday, because you'll never fully get discipled from here. Because it's your journey. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We can't rely just on Sunday service for us to get, yeah, we might go out feeling like, yes. But then what do we do till the following Sunday? Do we just run on fumes? Do we just get by? Do we just barely make it? Or do we think, you know what? That really encouraged me. I'm going to get into the Word. I want to know more about God for myself. You know, I might sign up to that. What's going on at this picnic in the park? You know, I want to be around. You know, because if you show me your circles, I can predict your future. Because the people that you keep in your life will determine where your attitude is. And your attitude will always determine your altitude. If you're around people that are just constantly taking from you, draining you emotionally and spiritually, that's what you'll end up like. But if you're around people that are going to build you up, that are going to encourage you, that are going to be nice to you, that are going to lift you up, then you're going to grow. And you're going to grow in a really good way. See, when I got saved, I had to cut most people out of my life. I didn't want to. These were the only people I knew. Associates, friends. But I had to cut people out of my life because I'd gone from, yes, praise God, I feel amazing, to suddenly sipping back into reality, or what was my reality, started to do things that I were doing before I became a Christian. And I was finding it hard. I felt like, you know, the world had hold of this hand and God was trying to get hold of that hand. And I was kind of really desperate to get to God. But the pull of the world was, it was so strong. It's like addiction. I know what addiction's like. I know the grip it has because it's there. It's familiar. It's even safe because it's all you've known. So you lean towards it because that's what you know. That's my identity has been there for so long. But I know that God has got a better plan for me. I know that God has got more. But I'm in this thing of struggle. I'm in this pit of struggle because I'm not 100% sure how. I know that I need to do it. I know that I need to reach out to God. But the pull of what I know, the pull of what I've always known becomes so strong. But I knew I had to break away from it. But when I did, God was able to do a work in me. God was able to clean me up. Not just dust me off. Do you know the Bible says it's by the renewing of our mind? But let me tell you something. The old self is like a demon. It follows you. It's waiting for you to pull your guard down. And it jumps up. That's why we've got to nail it to the cross daily. That's why we've got to take every thought captive. So when that old familiar voice starts to creep in to try and bring confusion, we've got to stop it. You know, anybody who's battling with any kind of addiction, let me tell you something. You know, I didn't do recovery, right? It wasn't for me. I didn't do recovery. I had the opportunity to when I was in prison, but I chose not to do it. What I did do, though, is I ran with God. When the light was switched on and I knew that God had delivered me, I ran with it. Yeah, I absolutely ran with it. But even 26 years now, clean, right? 26 years, there can be an issue. Like when a couple of years ago when we was having issues at home with our youngest daughter, the urge, I'm going to say urge, just go and get a drink. Just go and get a bottle of vodka or something. This is a battle in my mind. This is not something I sat down with Leslie and said, because she would have been casting demons out of me. Do you know what I mean? Because she's solid. But I remember thinking, I need a drink. I could just do with a drink. And that's what the devil does. He kind of sets you up to fail because he wants you to fall. But I had to cry out. And it didn't just come naturally. I didn't just think, oh, I know what to do. It was a battle. I was like spiritually being torn because the one person that I was put in charge of to support, to protect, I felt like I couldn't protect her before what was going on in her life. And I felt like I'd failed as a dad. And I was in this pit of struggle and everything was running through my mind. I might just go to pub. I might just get a drink. I might just do this, but I knew what the enemy was doing. So I had to get on my knees. And I remember planting my face into the city, crying. And Leslie jumped on my back and I said, she's trying to destroy me. She's trying to do this and he's trying to do that. And I was in an absolute mess. And we had no choice but to pray and allow God in. See, it's when you invite him into the struggle, that's when you get your victory. You're never going to get victory in any struggle until you invite God in. Amen? You've got to invite God in. He has to be Lord. You know, one of the easiest things to say in the church is Lord Jesus. Lord, my Lord and Saviour. But actually, to allow Jesus to be the Lord in your life is to let go of control. not to work it out, not to Google the blueprint of how he's going to do it, but just to let go. Will never make sense to you. That's why there's no point trying to suss God out, because he'll just do it, because he can. God can do it. And in God, we can do all things. Through Christ, he gives us strength. You know, we know these things. We read these things, but it's about the application of the word of God to our life. It's great when someone reads the scripture and we get people up to read the scripture and encourage them. I love all that. But don't just be a spectator. You need to participate in the word of God. That word that goes on that screen, you need to grab hold of it. You need to grab hold of it and apply it to your life and pray about, how is that word for me? How can I do something in my life with that word? What is it you're trying to say to me? Yeah, he'll speak to us corporately as a church, but what is God saying to me? You know, the biggest revelation I ever had in the kingdom of God was the most simplest one, and you'll probably laugh. That he's real. I didn't need anything else, because my thoughts were this: if he's real, then everything else must be real. So I didn't worry about everything else in the Bible at that time. I just ran with the fact that, whoa, he's real. I'm 21 years old and I've only just realised he's real. He's really real. And I'd be walking, laughing out loud to myself. It made me giggle. The fact that I got to 21 and I'd only just realised he's real. People coming up to me in the street, where have you been? Oh, I've just been to church. Yeah, we've just been to the set. No, not the church pub. Come here. And I'm just like a man possessed, because he was real. And he loved me. Nobody loved me. I was the most unlovable person in the world. Nobody wanted to be around me. But Jesus did. It's like he couldn't get enough. He was like my best buddy. My best buddy, Jesus. And you know what? He's still my best buddy. Because he puts up with me. Every single time. I don't know if sometimes he thinks, when he hears me praying, 1 minute. You know, like you hold the phone so they can't hear you. It's Lee. Hey, Lee, all right, yeah, go on. But he loves me. He loves me. But the biggest revelation I had is that he's real. But you know what? I've run with that for 26 years. So every time I face a problem, I remind myself that he's real. I remind myself that he's real and that I can go to him with absolutely everything, that I can bear all, that I don't have to go around the houses, that I don't have to come up with the excuses, that I can just say, oops, I did it again. I need you, God. My family needs you. The people that I know. You know, it's beautiful to see our friends from the lighthouse. It is. Honour God for your lives. You know, I said it on Tuesday night. God has got a plan and a purpose for your lives. The enemy will lie to you. He'll tell you you're not good enough. He'll tell you you're not worthy. He'll tell you that you shouldn't be here. But I'm breaking that off in the name of Jesus, because you have got a call on your life. You are more than you think you are. Much, much more. The world has got nothing but doom and gloom, but God has got everything for you. Absolutely. When you're down, look up. Don't look in the bottle. Don't look in the bag. Don't look in the needles and all that, or whatever it is people look to, the go-to for when they're struggling, because it's all counterfeit. absolute all counterfeit. You know what? I'm going to close with this because I find myself getting a little bit excited. Forgot to start my message. I kind of danced around it a little bit, but we will struggle. Amen? Newsflash. Every single one of us. Hands up anyone who never struggles. Just checking. Thought Dave's hand was going to go up then. We all struggle. You know why? Because we all fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. It means we're all the same. We're only human. The battle's in the flesh. It's what we do in that battle. Do you know? In Romans 7:15, it was an interesting scripture that we read out over the weekend. And I read it in the NIV, but I'm going to read in this just a moment. It says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not, but what I hate, I do. And that is so true. The things that we know we should be doing, we don't always do. We know they're going to lead to breakthrough and righteousness and all these kind of good things, but it's like a default setting that says, I've got to do what I've always done. I'm convinced I'm a creature of habit, but we're not, because we're brand new by the renewing of our minds. It's all about attitude and mindset. The Bible says we're brand new. The devil says, no, 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 same old, creature of habit, you'll do it, you'll go back. You'll be like a boomerang or elastic band. You'll bring back to where you was. No, we're brand new by the renewing of our mind. Whoever is in Christ Jesus is brand new. The King James says the old has passed away. But let me finish with this scripture from the... This was a gift, by the way, from our beloved Colleen, weren't it? And that's why... Oh, bless. That's why I kept this version. It's the Passion Translation. I don't particularly study from it or anything like that. I just read this scripture. I like the way it was presented. So I'm going to read it. Says, and this is same scripture in Romans 7. Unwelcome intruder of sin, hindering me from being who I really am. Though my experience of this principle, I discover that even which I want to do is good, evil is ready to sabotage me. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. But I discern another power operating in my humanity, waging a war against the moral principles of my conscience and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin. This unwelcome intruder in my humanity, what an agonizing situation I am in. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided me with a way out through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin. But now my renewed mind is fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principle. There's only one way. His way. You will be tested. You will find yourself in struggles. You will come unstuck in certain areas. You will face trials. You will face all kinds of tribulations. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added. We've got to put God as the full authority in our lives. We've got to stop playing church and start being church. It's an important mantle on our life to be the church. to be the church that Jesus died for. You know, and the guys are going to play the last song now. I can't remember what song you... No, Made for More. But I just wanted to... just very quickly, and I promise you I'm done now, Dave. I was sat in my back cave the other day. Leslie made me. Honestly, my wife she's spot on. She really is. Don't always like admitting it because it's like admitting you're wrong. And she's always right. But we were sat in the garden and we were struggling. Not struggling on this occasion like in some spiritual war. Just what to bring and how to bring it. And Leslie said, right, get up, go in your back cave, turn all your distractions off, get some worship, get into the word. And I was like, all right. You know, not arguing with that. But as I was sat there and I was putting together and I was just spending some time, this song came on. And I'd heard this song a million times. I believe it's an old Johnny Cash song. Is it Out of the Grave? Ain't No Grave. And we used to sing it a couple of years ago. And do you know what? It just blessed me. Right? It blessed me because, do you know, we do struggle. Amen? We do find ourselves in all kinds of situations. But if we follow Jesus, amen, if we do what he tells us to do, if we walk out the grave like he did and stop walking around in our grave clothes, if we stop walking around feeling like everyone owes us a living and, you know, woe is me, but if we focus on, you know what, if you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. You know, I want to be like you, Jesus. You set the standard. You're the prime example of what it is, how I'm going to be successful. So I'm choosing today to walk out of the grave. I'm choosing today to be like Jesus. I'm choosing today to be more than I was yesterday. And I'm hoping I'll be more tomorrow than I am now. But I'm choosing to walk out of the grave. What about you? I'm choosing to follow Jesus. Because you know what? He's coming back. He's coming back. We've got to get ready. We've got to buckle in. We've got to get ready. We've got to act like he could come back any minute. Because we think that we've got this thing of time. Be all right. No, I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to get it right tomorrow. No, we've got to act now. Like Jesus could come back at any minute. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand, guys. We're going to worship together. And, you know, let me invite you and encourage you. Forget who's at the side of you. Forget who's in front of you. Forget who's behind you. And just focus on God. And just worship in spirit.